I'm Derek Thompson, longtime writer with The Atlantic Magazine on tech, culture, and politics. There is a lot of noise out there, and my goal is to cut through the headlines, loud tweets, and hot takes in my new podcast, Plain English. I'll talk to some of the smartest people I know to give you clear viewpoints and memorable takeaways. Plain English starts November 16th. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For once, a take without controversy.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House. Hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to be talking about the phenomenon documentary, Brazilian Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo. We're going to talk about England's striking options ahead of the World Cup, Manchester United's Barclays WSL form, and we'll also give out some flowers. And my guests are Ryan Hun and Musa Kwongo. Stadio in the house.
Hey man.
Yes.
How you doing, fellas? Really excited about today's episode.
Very well. You actually asked me earlier if I watched the Ronaldo documentary. I didn't watch it. I witnessed it. It's different.
Experienced it.
Yeah.
But when you watch it, yes, you witnessed it because it was our time. But then when you watch it from his perspective, and I think I cried twice in it.
Oh my God. Yeah, me
well
too. It was even worse.
Welled up twice.
Let's just back up a little sec, because for people who don't know what we're talking about, there's a documentary that is out worldwide on DAZN called The Phenomenon, and it's about Ronaldo, the rise, fall, and redemption of Ronaldo,
original Ronaldo,
Ronaldo Luis Nazario de Lima. It's on the way in the UK, but we all watched it last night.
Yeah,
and seeing as it's someone that I don't think we've talked about a huge amount on Writer's House, but we've been wanting to for ages.
Yeah,
felt like the right time.
Well, shout out to Duncan McMath, writer and director, because he nailed it.
Yes,
just quickly,
after
just to say,
him
up top.
Yeah, we won't give too many spoilers away, but the gist is that it tracks Ronaldo's early career through the night, like sitting on the bench in the 94 World Cup, going to 98, everything that happened around the final, and then through to them winning in 2002. So it's kind of like 94 to 2002 is the arc. And it's actually a really interesting period that they picked.
Yes, that was so defined. What people have to understand is, and like you say, we're not giving away spoilers, but we know that Brazil have, when they go into the World Cup, they have to win. It's from that country's point of view, you know, they have to win. And I think after the 98, they had something in Congress in their government, didn't they? Talking about it. That's how seriously.
Yeah, there was essentially a hearing slash
a hearing about
committee
what happened
about the debrief. Yeah.
But I think watching him, and again, Ryan, we're speaking about Ronaldo Portuguese the other day, and we're talking about greats. We're talking about players that it's about the team and what they encompass, what they bring, you know, the joy of what they bring in that. And he was that. I didn't realize his mental strength with the injuries,
unreal,
the pressure. You know something? Remember when we watched the Maradona doc, and Maradona is just swamped with people. When that was after the World Cup, Moose, when we said him going through the airport looks like He was
terrified.
The most terrified man you'd ever seen. The way Ronaldo goes through the crowd, you could see he's got this same expression, hasn't he? His expression doesn't change, but it was like people were fucking seeing Michael Jackson or the Beatles. Yeah. It was hysteria.
Well, I know that there were superstars before that, but I feel like Ronaldo was probably the prototype from the modern day football superstar. You can trace the lineage from, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi.
Mm.
The modern mold of like a football specific superstar, I feel, came from Ronaldo in terms of like ability, global hype, global appeal, and
marketing as well. Marketing, Nike,
like
and all this.
A brand, if you know what I mean, like a singular, you know, a singular name.
When he went to PSV, because he went to PSV, and remember Romario went there before, because he kind of tracked Romario's kind of, and like he was saying, yeah, I'm going to, I'm not giving away spoilers because it's amazing. I'm going to score 30 goals here. I'm going
to. Almost. Here's the thing as well about the spoilers, right? It's impossible to spoil this documentary because it's all on record. Like, nothing in there is new.
We were all alive throughout all of it. And
the only things,
it was still like, wow.
There's no spoilers. The only thing that I would say about this, the only thing that really got me and the thing that made me cry actually, there were two points which made me very emotional. And I was extremely surprised by how moved I was by this documentary.
Same.
There are two things that really struck me. Firstly, it's as a society, because I've been thinking about this a lot recently, we put far too much pressure on individuals to redeem us. It's actually quite cowardly. As a species, human beings are really cowardly. It's like, oh, go and do that protest because I won't, or go and do that thing because I won't. And we put a lot of dreams into people, and it's too much, actually. It's way too much. And the reason I say this is because you look how the Brazil national team disintegrated at the 7-1 in that semi-final.
Oh God, Germany.
Because those players were trying to basically play to like redeem the society. And it's like, it's actually unacceptable because those players did not have enough comfort that people go, oh, it's going to be all right, even if you don't win. We love you if you don't win. And there wasn't enough of that. Mm. And we do too much of that. And the other bit that really got me as well was how we treat our footballers as such commodities. It's not giving away too much to say that like when Ronaldo fell ill, the duty of care to the people that loved him was appalling. It was absolutely appalling. Mm. The way that people closest to Ronaldo were treated around the time of his, you know, lowest moment.
It's scandalous.
That was disgusting. And those things upset me so much because it's like, hang on a minute. These people are on our stages. We want them to perform. We're obsessed with them, but we don't give a damn about the psychological aspect.
That's one thing I won't spoil about it because that moment in 98, when he goes through what he goes through. Because I remember it. Like, what's that?
Yeah, remembers.
It was so weird.
It was fucking, it was like, you know what? One of the things as a player you notice instantly is if a team's not warming up, there is something wrong.
Something seriously wrong,
If a team is not warming up. And, you know, obviously everybody knows what happened, but like the leading into it and then what you say there, Moose, about his nearest and dearest. Can you imagine how his mum must have felt? Like I say, that bit there, when you watch that bit there and his mum speak, you can't help but, you know, again, like, you know what I mean? I've started to well up simply because I'm thinking to myself, for some people, surely, I don't care if it's the World Cup final, it cannot be more important than someone's life. Nothing is.
And I think the thing that really got me emotional as well was the second injury. Because, you know, there's some pretty horrific footage of him as he's getting stretched off.
Yes.
And I've never seen that before. He essentially had the first knee injury and then the second one straight away.
Oh God, it's
horrible. Like the sound of him being stretched out of there was like it was horrible.
I remember that game. So the thing is because it's watching the documentary is like reliving it. But the genius of the documentary is it shows you the depth of despair because we didn't know just how bad it was. Like when you hear the medical reports about everything and not giving anything away, like it makes what he did eventually even more remarkable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought that actually.
Yes, it does.
Do you think because of everything that's happened post then, and obviously it was 20 years ago since they won in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that Ronaldo almost goes a little bit underappreciated now?
Without a doubt. I think that with people watching this, they'll understand what a world superstar, especially coming from Brazil, has to achieve. You know, and then, you know, with the injuries that he had, and then he done it. When you watch this, you will start. Hopefully, it will go somewhere where everybody can get to see it.
It's so good.
Everybody should get to see this, and I feel that once they see this, they'll see an elite player. Not only what he goes through, but his mindset and what he's able to achieve. The journey for that. It's remarkable.
This actually puts him even higher. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It does. After the injury, I think Zidane shows some class in this, man.
Mm. Yeah, we can't say, but Zidane does. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh, mate.
Honestly, is unbelievable.
And that is what I'm talking about. Again, in respects of an elite player, what it means. What it means to be an elite player, what you do. You know, and so when you look at, like I say, Ronaldo, now, honestly, he's gone again in my estimations. I had to go through my phone because I've got a picture of myself with Ronaldo on the phone, and I just looked at the phone, it just made me smile. Just to say, yes, I've been in his company and I love him. And I cannot even get in the vicinity of what he goes through. Being a player myself, admiring him like I did and still do, not realizing what those players of that elite stature have to go through, especially if you're injured. It's still the expectation of what people want from you is still there. It's still there. And every time after that, right, when he was coming back, and then the manager, Cooper,
how he treated him. That's unbelievable.
Like I said, I don't want to do the thing. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And what people have to understand as well, what I didn't know, is how close it was for him not even going in 2002.
Mm.
It was close.
Yeah, because of that injury. That injury was like running right up to it, yeah.
And it was out of him and Romario.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I was gonna ask something about him as a player, because we're literally looking at a guy who was on the pitch with him and Romario at the same time. Just to say, for those who don't know, England against Brazil in Le Tournoi in Paris, 97, right?
Yeah, and it's very difficult to be on the pitch with them without feeling like I'm on the pitch with them. And you're watching them, and you're watching the movement and stuff like the same when in the same tournament, being on the pitch with Zidane for the time, and how you could feel the aura, because when the ball goes near him and he's got it, everybody just backed off, because what are you going to do? You're not going to get it off of him. You're not gonna, you know. And what I admired about those, all of them, more than anything else, was they didn't do anything more than they had to do in the moment. If it took one touch, they'd just lay it back. You know what I mean? Obviously, I wanted to see Ronaldo get the ball, turn and do his stuff, but if it's one tap, bam, he just laid it off. And then every now and then, you saw a burst. You know what I mean? Same, you know what I mean? It was that kind of stuff. Like, what I loved about Zidane was how many fucking times he just laid it off, one touch, bam, just give it back. And then how people just look for him, bam, he just lay it over there. Then go and get it back again and pass it in there. It was like, it's like when I watch Piteous.
Right.
Why she's great is because the greats make it look fucking easy.
Mm. So always do less. Easy.
Yeah. It's funny. I was saying it to DiMaggio the other day. I said, do less. You know, if someone's there to be beaten, then you try and take them on. But if you can pass it and move and just do it, watch the greats. Watch the greats. Mm. Messi. Watch Messi.
Yeah. Never. It's a minimalist. I said this before, like minimalist footballers, like who are that good, they do exactly what is needed to be done and nothing more. And like, unless they really need to put just a little bit of sauce on it. But it's always for the purpose of like aesthetics and not for the purpose of humiliation, which I think is a different thing. It's a different energy. I think this is what Ronaldo used to do. Like, for example, there are some of my all-time favorite goals in this documentary. And one of them, which Moose and I reference all the time, and it's the Compostela goal for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Where he's getting pulled on the halfway line and he's still like really skinny, and he's and it cuts to Bobby Robson. Bobby Robson's hands are on his head because he can't believe what he's just seen. But it was always like only what was needed. And the thing that we were talking about the other day was like how many times he went round the keeper.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Remember the goal he scored against Turkey, the toe poke?
Yes, amazing. Oh my God, the context for that is even more incredible when you hear it.
Exactly what I was going to say.
We can't give anything away, but the context behind that is mind-blowing.
No, we're not going to give anything. But the thing about it is that we're talking about Ronaldo here and maybe not trying to bring on another injury in that, but the improvisation. But the thing about it is, I remember watching it at the time and I was thinking, God, that's Romario. He's taking stuff off Romario now and that. So So when you watch it, you'll see the significance of it and why he did it. But the fact is that I remember watching and saying, God, his toe poked it from there. It was
his,
you know,
peak.
Honestly,
his peak, put it this way, he was the best player in the world for 6 years. And for two of those years, he was fully out with injury. Like if you'd asked any player in the world, even when he was injured, who the best player in the world is, it'd be like, it's Ronaldo when he returns.
Ronaldo.
It's Ronaldo in training. Yeah. That is how good he was. It's like, it's watching this documentary, just to throw this in before we move on, watching this documentary was so incredible because it made me regard his peak even more. It made me actually move him up in the ranks of greats.
Yes, Moose. Yes.
And I tell you why, it's because actually his career is very interesting because it is so specifically defined by World Cups, right? So the Champions League doesn't even figure in his thinking. It doesn't matter. Yes, it's fun. No. It's fun to win, like, you know.
It's, but, yes.
But actually, as a specific trophy, he did not crave the European Cup. If he'd craved it, he would have won the Champions League. If he'd craved it, I'm fully sure of that. If he'd craved, if he'd craved the Serie A in a different context, if Cooper had been compliant, he could have won that.
Easily.
This man's career is defined by the three World Cups. The final, he didn't play in 94. The one that he barely played in 98. And then in 2002, the redemption. And that is
goals.
A unique. So if you look at that arc, his arc, we should actually assess him alongside Maradona. And we've said this before, the fact that he's the only footballer in the world, even now, you can refer to by a nickname and everyone, billions of people know exactly. Billions of people know exactly. Do you know what he's like? He's the prince of football. You know how like you associate one color? You know how you look, you shine the color purple in the sky and everyone knows it's Prince. No one thinks of Kang the Conqueror. No one thinks of Alexander the Great. Everyone thinks of like...
Moose.
That's it.
Beautifully put, Moose. Beautifully put.
I think that might be your best ever take.
Honestly, Moose, I think that's... Moose,
honestly,
I feel like I'm going to cry, Moose.
I genuinely do. Oh, no.
Moose, I feel like I'm going to cry. That's a good take. That's Moose, a good way to go.
For once, a take without... controversy.
Oh, I love that.
We could do a 3-hour podcast on Ronaldo because I think that, just to sum up, I think we've probably talked about this before on Stadio or Writer's House, but even now, going back and watching old footage of Ronaldo, it doesn't age. Moussa said something once about him, I think, where it was like, as soon as he crossed the halfway line, everybody panicked.
Yeah.
You could pluck him and put him in any side now and he would do exactly the same. And one of the other things I just wanted to touch on, which I think I needed reminding of, was actually how good he was as a facilitator.
Oh my gosh.
Mario and stuff like that.
Against Mexico.
What? Yeah. Oh my God. Let them watch it, Moose. Let them watch it.
Honestly, I can't recommend it enough. If you can find it when it's out in the UK, especially. But
right. Can I just finish and say I am so pleased that this has come out because it's a reminder of easily in the top three of the all time greats. He's in there, and it's a
and
great
with
reminder.
Those injuries.
And with those injuries, it's a reminder of how great he was, and I'm so pleased that they've done it. I'm so
the youngest ever player to be FIFA World Player of the Year. The youngest ever, at the age of 20. Yeah. And it wasn't close. It wasn't close. For those watching football, it wasn't close. It was a vapor trail between him. Yeah, it was a vapor trail between him and everyone else.
All right, speaking of strikers.
Yes.
I hate doing this podcast when it's us three because it's just like I'm looking at you two up front being like, move. Move.
We're Romario and Ronaldo.
Speaking of strikers,
England, man. We have to speak about England because the time is drawing close.
It is.
And you know, it's something that people are constantly asking me, who should go? Obviously Harry Kane's gonna go, but when you look at our strikers, apart from Harry Kane, in current form, obviously, Al's putting a massive case forward for Callum Wilson, you know, which I totally understand. Tammy's got to be in there. Mm. I think Rashford, hopefully carry on with his form, but I think Gareth knows what he's about, and plus he can come from the wings and stuff. That stuff. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, if he could have got into a team now. stayed injury free and was scoring from now until the end, and that was the summer World Cup, he could probably have blasted himself in. But I think it's probably between Tammy, Ivan Toney,
so
and
you have to
bear with me with that, and Wilson. Mm. Simply because if Wilson can continue his form, you know, and stay clear of injuries, guys, then you'll probably take him.
I think it's Toney over Wilson at this point.
But you would, Moose.
Mm, yeah, I would.
Would you pick him over Wilson? Specific... The thing is, the reason why I would pick him is for the penalties.
That's interesting.
If it's going to come down to margins,
mm.
I would take a third striker for that reason, if he's going to take the penalties like that. But like, I think that for me, Tammy has to go.
Yeah, Tammy's got to go.
Yes, without question. Without question.
Tammy's got to go because of his headspace. Where he is in his head. Going somewhere knowing I have to perform. Like when he went to Roma.
Yeah.
Leaving Chelsea, leaving England, going there knowing I have to do this is the mentality you need in a World Cup. You need
his
to
big
not,
time right, as well. He has the peaks
bench,
also.
I know that not, exactly.
His Absolutely. Peaks. We know what his peaks are. This is my one critique. It's not a criticism. Look, I think Callum Wilson's a fantastic player. It's about the peaks we've seen them already hit, I think. And the levels we know they can reach. Callum Wilson, actually, I think his misfortune is this World Cup is actually coming, weirdly enough. The World Cup not being in next summer and being in December, if anything, has screwed him because the form he's in, I think by summer, he'd be a lock. But it maybe is a fraction too soon, I think. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because we've just seen the others put in signature performances in huge games, either in the Premier League or internationally. And I think that has to count for something at this point.
I think for me, I'm going Tammy Rye, simply because of, like I say, the mindset. I think it's time. I think that he'll understand the enormity of it. And then what else I'll do is I'll show him what it's like to be expected to do something by making sure he watches the Ronaldo doc. But the fact is...
Dude, I was going to say that. That's so funny. If I was Gareth Southgate, I'd show him the Ronaldo doc the day before the announcement and then just be
honestly.
Like, listen... Scolari had to leave Romario out.
Yes.
And then pull that Ian Wright face. Harry Kane's going to be the main one, obviously. Mm. Tammy, I think, gives you essentially like everything that Dominic Calvert-Lewin gives you, but with a little bit more alpha, I think, at the moment. Mm. Don't you think? I think like in terms of like skill set, they're kind of fairly similar. I think Tammy's a better finisher at the moment, or a more clinical finisher, let's say.
Yeah.
But then you've got Marcus Rashford, who's probably going to go because he's been in really good form. But does he? I wonder whether the removal of maybe one of the right backs and maybe one of the wide forwards frees up space for another one in the striker position. So, for example, whether Marcus Rashford goes in instead of someone like Jarrod Bowen.
I think that has to be. I think Rashford over Bowen is not even close.
No, I agree. And then maybe because. You know my thoughts on right backs in the squad, the more the better, but obviously it looks like we're going to be without one definitely for the World Cup, maybe two, and maybe one of those positions goes to another striker, so you could in theory take Ivan Toney, and you could then in theory take, you could maybe take them all, but I don't think he will. I think it'll be, I don't think you need them, so I think Callum Wilson and Dominic Calvert-Lewin are definitely the two that don't go.
Do you think he'll take two or three? Will he take three?
Well, I think because Rashford essentially gives you options wide.
Yeah.
You don't even really need to count him as a striker. So you could then say it's Harry Kane, it's Tammy, and it's Ivan Toney, and they were all in the last squad anyway, right?
That's plenty enough. Yeah. That's plenty, I think.
So it's kind of actually, and then you just put Rashford in there for Bowen and you've got your four.
I think that could be it because
I get it's
the margins. You win these on the margins, and like you can bring. I would bring Ivan Toney. Harry Kane, Tammy, Ivan Toney, because and you know Wilson. Like I'd go with you, Moose, with Wilson. If it was the summer, he'd be locked in. But we're not looking for somebody who's. I don't think we're looking for. We need somebody whose mindset. Is in who's going to come off the bench and has the mindset of knowing what I'm going on there to do. And I think that Tammy will have that. Yeah, of course, Wilson will go on and want to try and score and stuff, but Tammy will have that because he'll know what I mean. Ivan Toney, if Ivan Toney goes and there's a, he knows what he's there for. He knows what he's there for.
And isn't it funny how it changes? Because if we had this conversation end of last season, Jared Bowen goes over two of the names you've mentioned. But the way that West Ham have started, the inconsistent start, it's just like, so it's shifted so much. So maybe in the last few weeks, someone like a Callum Wilson can make a surge. But at this point, I don't see that order changing.
Can I say as well, Moose, with this, is the time that this World Cup's taking place has fucked players. It's fucked it because, like, you're starting the season and you're starting the season thinking, you know what, I want to start this season and I'm going to really have a go to see if I can blast myself as a into this World Cup squad in the summer, not fucking November.
Yeah, I mean, you're only third of the way through the season. We were talking fucking about this on Stadio the other day. Like, it's mad. It's like,
it's crazy,
like,
right? I mean, it's crazy.
Because you're only really, I don't know, because I think the weird thing is that it's usually, in England specifically, I know it's a very kind of like Anglo-centric angle, but, you know, we usually look at like Christmas as right, let's get the lay of the land a little bit. Mm. How's everyone doing? That kind of seems to be the point where everyone starts to take stuff seriously. But this year, you're going to have players who might have actually played in a World Cup final like 8 days before they're back in the Premier League for Boxing Day fixtures. And it's like, how like, I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah, no way. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. And I feel, you know, this is why I'm mentioning Dominic Calvert-Lewin would have time. Callum Wilson would have even more time to cement a place simply by just playing consistently in a team that seems like they're ready to blast. You know, we're starting to look at Everton with Dominic Calvert-Lewin coming back and they're looking more potent with him involved. He should have scored. He should have scored the other day and then that would get him going. And then what that does, it gives you the, right, yes, it's starting to happen. But November, look, apart from Haaland, he's got, what, 20 goals or something. What's the next highest goal scorer? I don't think they're out of, are they in and around 10?
It's Harry Kane, 10 goals.
Exactly. So we're talking about by November, and this is about the pace, because you're looking to try and score. Well, I was always looking to score between 15 and 20 goals, all competition, by Christmas, because it kind of slows down afterwards because everything gets tighter. So we're talking about a time now where strikers are on 4 and 5 goals. You're not even in the right frame of mind thinking I'm doing stuff at the moment. You're not even thinking that. Because what, 12 games have gone, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, if he takes Harry Kane and Ivan Toney, then you've essentially got two of the top four goal scorers in the Premier League. And then you can take Tammy from Serie A, who...
Slower start this year, but still very good.
The thing with Wilson and why I think Wilson and Calvert-Lewin might not make it is that Ivan Toney seems like the not the, I don't want to say wild card, but let's say the unknown in the squad in a striker
special
lineup.
Teams.
And I don't think you can have more than one.
Special teams,
like, for example,
Ivan Toney.
Yeah. I don't think you can have more than one, right? Because basically if you bring someone like Callum Wilson, who's not massively experienced at international level, what, he's got 4 caps from 3 years ago, I think the last cap, and makes a bit of a surge, I think taking them specifically for a high pressure situation, I think is a little bit of a gamble. You can do that with one. I think doing that with two is a bit different.
Yeah, and I think Tammy, with his under 21 career as well, for the amount of time he's been involved with England, I think he deals with that. And I think Ivan Toney, knowing, you know the thing, what I'd do is, you know what I'd do as well, Moose? If I brought him into the squad, I would say to him, listen, Harry's going to play and Tammy will probably play. You are here to take penalties. You know, special tip, like in America, what they know exactly. That kicker, you come on, kick the ball through the fucking H. No, kick the ball through the Y.
Don't kick it through the H.
Don't kick it through the H. Kick it through the Y. Sorry, Moose.
I think you can be straight. I think you can straight say, listen, as a starter, the pecking order, let's be clear, is going to be Kane, Abraham, and then you. Right? You're the third player. But there'll be specific games, let's say 20 minutes from the end, half an hour and then, where we're going to go to 4-4-2. And you are an option for 4-4-2, absolutely. And you give them that, because actually I think that's fair and that's real, because what happens, situations where you abandon a wide forward, you go through the middle, you go 4-4-2, you hammer down the flanks, and that's where Ivan Toney comes into his own. And if you give him that and say, listen, we can see you having 20 minutes to half an hour in the business end of a tournament. So you'll get, like, you might get a start in the group stage if we qualify, but you'll get 45 minutes. If we qualify, you'll get 45 minutes at the very least and you'll get a start. If we don't qualify to the last game, we're going to need you in the knockouts. And I'm going to be honest with you, you probably won't get more than 20 minutes of regular time, and you might get extra time as well. we can use in a 4-4-2.
If I was a player on the fringes like that and the manager even just fucking gave me the, blessed me to tell me that, I'd be made up. Because all I'll be doing in training is making sure I'm ready.
Ready for the 4-4-2, ready for the crosses, ready for the overlaps, ready for the runs.
Ready for anything.
Yeah.
Ready for anything, because my mindset with England was that. My mindset was that. I was ready to come off the bench because I knew I wasn't going to start. I accepted that. It was, people think, oh, you accepted coming second. No, you don't accept coming second. You accept that I do have a role to play. Recognize the role. Don't get beyond yourself. Of course, we all want to be a hero. We all want to start the game. But don't get beyond yourself. Otherwise, people wouldn't become a hero out of nowhere. You know, that's why that happens, because they're ready for the opportunity when it arises. And
exactly.
That is what you want to make sure that people understand. That's what you got to understand.
So I think what you do is you give them scenarios, you give them games where you give them situations. You basically say to Ivan Toney, here are a bunch of scenarios where we'd be using you. And you give them that. I wouldn't say just penalties. I would say, actually, here is how.
Yeah, give him something to think. Yeah give him exactly. something to look forward to. It might happen.
Yeah.
But you're there at the manager's disposal.
Yes.
And this is something I don't understand with football at the moment anyway. Every single player there who signed his contract, you're there at the manager's disposal. Whatever he wants to do with you, as much as it might look to the people outside, what's he doing? That's what you do. You sign that contract for the manager to use you how he sees fit. And when it comes to England and tournament, when it comes to international football, I should say, and tournaments, your mindset should be that. I know that that's the 11, but I know I'm here ready to go, and I'm going to make sure that I'm ready to go when the time comes. And that's what I think, that's why I'd take Tammy, because I think that he recognizes that. And I'd take Tony, because if you explain it to him, he will recognize what his job is. And the thing is that, like I say, it's only because we're talking about a World Cup in November, because I'd still like Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and I still like the chance that maybe Callum Wilson would have carved out for himself. But now you have to cut the cloth.
Yeah.
You have to cut the cloth accordingly.
I mean, apart from that, like I said, just as many right backs as we can. Take them all. Take them all. And let's play three right backs up front. Right back, Aris. Let's do it.
Right back.
Should we talk about the WSL's hype side at the moment?
Yeah. Man United. Yeah. Man United.
They're cooking.
Yeah, they are.
They're showing us something, aren't they? They're showing us something.
Yeah. Look, sorry, Leah Galton, after we've watched that Ronaldo documentary, she was just like channeling an inner phenomenon there.
She threw so many fakes
on the weekend.
Can I say with Leah, when you look at Leah Galton, when you feel like they brought in Garcia, brought in Nikita Paris, Leah Galton was probably the one who would have been most maybe afraid of that scenario, of them coming in, that situation of them coming in. And she's, again, it comes down to a player, fucking back yourself, what I'm capable of doing. And look what she's done. She started unbelievably, 5 games, 3 assists, 2 goals. Wow.
That's what it is. It's heavy metal. It's heavy metal. 4-1-4-1. Heavy metal formation. You know,
it does sound like a Black Sabbath B-side.
It does. Sometimes you see a 4-1-4-1 and it's a defensive thing, right? But that's the trap you fall into. Oh, they just got the two banks of four and the one is just going to be the connective tissue. No, this is something else. This is a beast, because Zelen basically patrols and screens the entire thing. Yes. There's very so few good. Players.
She's got to get some love, man. Right, you know something?
Right, yes.
Can I give some flowers?
Dude, it's your show. Yeah.
Do it.
Katie Zelen. Let me tell you why I'm really loving Katie Zelen, because Katie Zelen has found herself in a situation that I found myself in, especially 96. I was in all the squad, leading all the way up to it. I got left out of the squad. And as soon as it finished, I got brought back into the squad. That has a fucking effect on you somewhere, because you've missed out. Even though England didn't win it in 96, they came very close, and I still believe I would have probably helped them to win it. I'm not going to have no other fucking... Like, the scenario in my head is scoring the goals that Oliver Bierhoff has taken my fucking dream, right? Simple as that. And I think that when you're in it like that, then you miss out on a tournament, and she's missed out on a tournament that they won, and then you're straight back in. And then you start the season how she started the season. That says a lot for you. She has to get some flowers for that, simply because people will underestimate what you're going through. Can you imagine what it's like for Katie Zelen watching England in the Euros?
Cannot imagine.
There's something, do you know what? I think it's difficult, but Katie Zelen strikes me as the kind of player and personality who has such kind of like quiet confidence in her own ability. Yes. Like if you think how
she was,
how,
she was one of the main, she was one of the main drum beaters, but at the same time, deep inside Ryan.
Yeah, come for on, sure, man. For sure. But the World Cup next year, I think she's not going to wait too long to be in that squad because, for example, good. Like if you look at her career, like you know, winning Serie A with Juve and then going to the Championship for Manchester United's first season. Yeah, that's a brave move. That is a huge gamble, in terms, but also a sign, I think, of kind of like her own ability where she's
you back
like,
yourself, yeah. You
I know want to build that we're probably going to get promoted and, you know, she's the captain. She's one of the most, she's been one of the most important players since their conception and definitely since they progressed to the Super League. And this season, she's been a major part of this. Like, I know it's early stages, right? But, you know, they're 5 games in now and they haven't conceded a single goal.
Mary Earps, man. You have to say Mary Earps. You're looking at Mary Earps, no goals conceded. You've got Katie Zellin playing great stuff on a battle.
Wow.
How they see the thing with Man United. This is what I'm saying with Man United, Moose and the ladies. They have to do something. They have to get in Champions League because if they don't.
Yes, you're right.
Then
you're looking at
Russo, Battle, who I'm surprised they can keep someone like that of that quality.
You have to have the momentum.
So they have to. So this is the season more than any other where they're going to have to break that duck of trying to beat the Chelsea, Cities and Arsenals of this world. They have to do it this season. Otherwise, I think they're going to lose people like Batley and Russo because they need Champions League. Those players have to be playing the Champions League. It's not right for them not to be now. So that's the worry I have for United, right?
Yeah, for Manchester United, I think they're in quite a similar position to where Arsenal are in the Premier League. In the sense that like, they're probably not going to win the league, but what they're doing, what they need to do is get into the Champions League and therefore as many points as possible that they can pick up in this early stage of the season because they will dip a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. And the difference obviously between the Women's Super League and the Premier League is that every game is even more important in the Women's Super League because there are fewer of them.
I think they've got some big games coming as well.
They do. And if they get through that period, maybe kind of like still second or third and with a bit of a gap on City, Man United have got a 6-point gap on City. If they can maintain that gap, or at least like a 4-point gap, then they're going to be in really, really, really good shape.
I think the games coming up and them not beating those top three teams is what's going to be causing them problems. They need to get past those teams. If they do, I think they can see it out because I think they've now got players amongst them with enough strength in their like mentality to see that through. I really do.
But then Zellum, you look at back to the Zellum thing, she's so important to that whole configuration because there's very few people that can play. The way that United play, they play high with the four. There's very few people who can, that DM area, there's very few in world football that can do that, and particularly in the WSL. So I just think it's about depth. United squad depth end of this year is going to be something that really, I think, comes around because with the personnel they have, they can be anyone, but it's just the depth for me.
But when Russo's fit and starting games again, that gives him such another dimension.
Yeah. But just the defensive
also,
area.
I think it's been a real... Yeah. I think they're probably like... Yeah, defensively for sure. I think in an attacking sense though, you know, I think they're probably...
Like Nikita's playing very well.
Nikita's scoring goals and playing well. I think it's a good move for her, actually. Yeah, and I think slightly...
She looked happy, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be good. That's also good for England to get more players with more options playing games and playing well. So... But yeah, I think in Man United in general, like they're playing super well. And yeah, I think flowers for Katie Zellum, and the rest of them. They can.
Did you want to give flowers to someone else or a rose? You wanted.
I mean, on the WSL stuff quickly though. Do you want to say anything about Hope or just?
Oh my gosh! Leave, can I just say? Hope?
Do you want to say?
You know what? We have to mention it because they've lost 8-0 to Tottenham. Tottenham side, I think up to that point. Score something like 3 goals, or, you know, and that's
where was this ambition in the derby? Where was this in the derby?
I know. Where was this?
Some of these goals that attacking freedom, Neville and Naz. Where was this ambition?
Yes, Naz scored a beautiful goal, you know, Neville. But like, I really felt for Hope because I remember watching their left back. She got Patterson from Everton. She's a very, very good player. I really like her as a left back. And I was watching. I was thinking, yeah, I like what Hope's doing because I watched them a little while back. At Boreham Wood, and they were okay. They played really well for a bit, but they just couldn't break on Arsenal to cause Arsenal problems, and that was their problem. But defensively, and a couple of mistakes from the goalkeeper, but defensively, they were all over the place to the point where, you know, you're thinking, well, I hope they should not be that disorganized. She said it's Hope said it's embarrassing. I don't, because to let in 8 goals, it wasn't very pleasant. And I feel for her because I was seeing people in the group like saying, oh my God, I worry for Hope. And that's what I worry for. I just worried for Hope in that instance. So I'm hoping that they can kind of get it together because, you know, you guys don't know what it's to lose like that in the public eye. Like I say, with Liverpool, it's one that will haunt me forever. You honestly, it's devastating, man. It's devastating. So you're hoping that they can get something going, get themselves more solid. You know what I mean? To kind of stop that bleeding and get going, because I'd hate to lose Hope for the game. She has to be in the game for me.
Yeah. I mean, she's all-time legend.
Like I say, I'm blaming Spurs for this, because if Spurs had come out with this kind of energy in the derby, right, and made that game closer, then Brighton would be ready for this energy now, right? Why Spurs unleashing this? Because Spurs have got some really exciting attacking players, and it really frustrated me in the derby because I thought you could be more enterprising on the counter.
Yeah, they didn't
like,
come.
When you give a player like Naz a bit of freedom, look what they produce. Running out the ball into spaces, cutting with ambition. I think Spurs are frustrated actually in this game. That's why they came out like this, maybe, because they hadn't cut loose yet.
They've got to look at themselves now and say, we're capable of doing that.
That's the level. Exactly. Yes. We can play with freedom.
Yes. So this is the level now. You can't drop back down there.
And I've been waiting for Spurs to kick on. Yeah, because when they came up, I was really impressed. So well organised. Mm. There was a Chelsea game they played, and they were really organised, and Chelsea had to work really hard to break them down. This is when Beth England was starting up front, I think, and GC Yon and the rest in the gang. They had to play with, was it the Diamond? And Chelsea playing the Diamond against them. And I was really impressed by Spurs. And I thought, look, you've got this defensive foundation. Now kick on, add the fantasy in the final third. And I've been waiting for them to produce a performance with these kinds of goals. And the only good thing about this game, unfortunately, is heartbreaking for Hope Powell, is the quality of some of the Spurs finishing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So this is now, hopefully they can take this and be like, this is our benchmark. We can be ambitious from distance. We can play combination. We can run at people. So hopefully take this into the next few games.
I mean, if Spurs get it together, man, City have got a problem.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
4-3 doesn't go. 5-3 definitely doesn't go. And
tell you what definitely goes, Bunny Short into everyone's final third.
Wow.
This woman is a problem.
Hey, did you see that thing I put in the group, Ian? Jamaicans are top of the goal scoring chart.
Yes, in the championship. Was it Shania?
And the WCF. Yep.
Shania. So Jamaica getting ready to cook in the World
Cup. Talk about vapor trays. Talk about vapor trails. Vapor trails.
They're seasoning. Jamaica getting ready to season.
Yes. Can I just chuck some flowers to someone else who was cooking this weekend?
Go on.
Who's that?
And he's waited a long time to get in the kitchen. Reece Nelson.
Reece Nelson, man. Listen. Oh, Reece Nelson.
The chef.
Right.
You know something? Reece, so happy for him. Yes,
me
right.
too, good, man. Good because one. Like he's 22. He was part of like the generation just before Saka and from Hail End. Arteta loves him. Like he loved him as a player. Do you remember he said like, this kid basically is special. When him and Sancho were coming through, everyone was just like, initially it was supposed to be Reece, then it was Jaden who went to Germany. When Reece played under Nagelsmann at Hoffenheim, and Nagelsmann was like, this guy is unbelievable. Everyone has loved him, and he hasn't quite managed to break through at senior level. And what I loved about the weekend was that when we sent it on Stadio, the collective intake of breath when Saka went off and everyone's just like, oh my God, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And overlooking two new signings to bring on Reece Nelson. And actually, I was thinking it's been a while since we've seen Reece Nelson just be plugged into a full strength side.
Side, yeah.
It's always been second string. And actually,
Europa, League Cup.
Yeah. And I think that this was the most encouraging thing about it. Yes, it was against the side that was bottom of the league. We know that. But he had such a direct impact on a side that was kind of struggling a little bit towards the end of that first half.
Mm. And that same side has had some very good results recently. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I love about it? You know. Again, with it, right, is we're talking about somebody that people have, they almost gave up on saying, he should leave. He's not going to. And like you say, with Mikel, it's like Mikel is given, he said, listen, clean slate, guys, clean slate. What have you got? Show me what you've got. And I thought that Reece in the last couple of years would have gone on loan again or at some stage or last year, like even the start of this season when we went to Germany and he was there. And I'm not joking. He just looked energized. He looked very smiley. He looked like somebody who's had the talk. He's had the talk, right? And so I'm really pleased that he ended up staying. And when he came on, even his goal, the way he took his goal, you know, he cut inside, you know what I mean? He didn't panic in there. You know what I mean? He's very composed. When it came back off the keeper, bam, he just put it in the top corner and then he got himself in the box, bam. And what that says to me is that he's somebody, again, from a mental aspect, from a mental side, he's got himself in a place where I've got to make sure I get ready. I've got to take my chance. Because we're talking about team at the bottom of the league, and I'm not taking anything away from what he's done. Team at the bottom of the league. Saka's just gone off injured. Hopefully everybody hopes he's okay. This is it. Recognize.
Yes.
And he did.
Points
and
like, you cannot drop. Points you cannot drop. It. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly, Moose. Exactly.
Said that a million times this season about just making sure that Arsenal win games that they would have dropped points in last season.
Yes.
But also, if you look at how much Saka's been playing and the treatment that he's been getting from the opposition, if Mikel Arteta knows that he can put Reece Nelson in there and it gels, that is such a massive plus massive point for him going forward.
Huge,
because
huge,
Arsenal
huge.
Definitely wanted another wide player in the summer and they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, we're talking, people are constantly talking about our depth. And, you know, people probably say, after listening to this, some people, especially the Arsenal haters, will say things like, yeah, it's against Forest. Calm down. No. Mm-hmm. No. It's the mental state that these players are in at Arsenal. Because we're getting into a crux time now. Obviously, we want to be top going into the World Cup, see where we go with the momentum. But it's coming into a crux time because these guys are going into a run of games, still top, and everybody is expecting them to fall off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's, because there's games already that Arsenal have played, Brentford, Palace, even this one could have caused problems for them. You know what I mean? There's games that they've got a point out of what maybe they shouldn't have got, but like that's what happens when you're going for this, and that just builds mental strength. And I think they've taken a lot from last season, and I'm just looking forward to getting to the latter stages, like what we saw last season with Newcastle and Tottenham winning those two games would have got them to Champions League. That has done something to them. And that says that the way they've started the season, I think it's got a lot to do with what they've learned from the season before. So yes. I'm just want us to get to the place where we could start seeing where the experience of last season kicks in. Do we lose those games? Do we win those games? Then we'll be able to really fucking say, listen, man, this team's on the path, man. The trajectory is on this way. It's going. It's happening.
Oh no. Oh no. Ian Wright believes.
I believe, bro.
Oh no.
I believe. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. I believe.
Ian Wright playing us out.
Listen, guys, thank you very much, man. Listen, thanks for coming, Moose. I love you.
Absolutely.
Ryan,
pleasure.
Thanks
always
for coming
pleasure.
On. It's time to leave the yard.
Thanks, man.
I really enjoyed that, fellas. I'll see you soon.
See you soon,
absolutely.
Man. Have fun.
You're beautiful, man. Thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll see you again next week. It's getting closer, man. The World Cup's getting closer. See you next week.